You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Cop 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link.
That'll do. Put the air horn in there. Why not?
There you go.
Yeah, oh, wait.
As if no one can see you in the background.
sure. It looks like, at first, it looked like a curtain was just was running by.
It does look like a curtain.
Donna's merch is
the... Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is the podcast. Perfect time to show the Donna's merch. THEDONAS. This is the new bucket
really
hat.
Say I look like a curtain.
Yeah. I said.
Look at all right,
we're literally doing a show. Here.
All right.
She's cursing on the show.
We don't swear on this program.
Yeah, we've never sworn in our lives.
Alexis, is this the woman you married? What?
I thought so. Upon further evidence.
Hello.
Everyone else is super hard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prem Show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show, football show, calcio show, whatever you want to call it.
Balompié show.
Right here on Twitch every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Right. It's the funniest of all those, but it's also the gulliest.
Correct.
So make sure you put them in both categories.
And we weren't on last week. And so we probably should explain ourselves because I just live streamed. I was playing some FIFA during that time slot, but we didn't tape a Prem show because Alexis was incapacitated. I was
out. I got my booster shot. And let me tell you something. It drained my battery to a level I couldn't do anything for three straight days. The episode we shot with Midge Purse, I full-blown fever. I was freezing, but I'm sweating profusely at the same time. I was in no pain whatsoever. No pain whatsoever. Mm. But to touch my skin, you would think I was extremely hot. Inside my body, I couldn't get warm if I tried.
Right.
And I was just so tired. So tired. I don't even know how. I don't remember most of the questions I asked.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that. So
just straight up
not
fever dream while you're working. Uh-huh. But yeah, so that is the explanation.
But I do want everyone to know, please go get it. If you have an opportunity to get a booster shot, please go get it. The numbers are already looking good.
But just give yourself about a 4 to 5 day window of like you might be feeling like garbage.
If you got Pfizer, get it on a Thursday and you'll be all right by Tuesday. You know,
it's interesting because, you know, the first two shots, I felt the first one more. I was like a little bit fatigued, but it really wasn't that serious. And the second one barely felt anything.
For me, it was first one barely felt anything. A little tired, a little bit. Nothing crazy. Really hungry. Mm. Second one knocked me out for like a day, day and
a half. So that was the shot, though? The hunger?
It's a hunger. Like, I normally, I'm not starving, you know? I'm like, I could eat. I'm gonna eat, you know? It's usually what I say. But this was like, I bought Chinese food for myself and my wife, and when she got home, there was nothing but soy sauce. I ate everything. Everything.
Okay. Enjoy. Ravenous. Just throw a couple packets. Enjoy, honey. Yeah,
yeah. Well, you put that on a rice cake. Also, spoiler alert, I ate all your rice.
So that's why we weren't on last week. So apologies if you know, anybody missed us for that week. But I hope you enjoyed the podcast with Midge Purse. That was a really, really fun show. And you can look forward to on Fubo Sports
Net. Well, Andrew said, when do you think you will recover, Alexis? Credit for taping the sleep this week while still looking like you're suffering.
So, Paolo in Minnesota just said that you were sucking on the ketchup bottle.
That's how I fell asleep. I fell asleep like a drunk, but instead of a whiskey, like a fifth of whiskey, it's just,
just a barbecue sauce.
It's just a Sir Kensington spicy ketchup. It's all over me. It's I didn't drink.
It's the fancy kind. Why are you judging me? He has a top hat.
I did it with the pinky out. Is that not enough for you?
So, I don't even, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, so that's why we weren't on last week. So apologies. But yes, we had Midge Purse, on the show, you know, on Fubo Sports Network. And this week we have Columbus Crew, forward Miguel Berry, on the show. So make sure we just, taped an interview with him earlier today. It was really, really fun. So, look out for that Thursday at 7 PM Eastern time, on Fubo Sports Network, and go, yeah, check that out. That's going to be a fun one. And then the podcast will be available on Friday. All right. Where to begin today? You know what? First off, let's start with what I'm wearing because,
oh my God, I'm sorry. Are we doing a drip check?
All right, because Everton Football Club, somebody.
Let's start with the fact that Everton Football Club made a U.S. themed shirt. How beautiful.
This is cool. You don't see this from Premier League clubs very often. David from Tampa just said, bought the Everton USA shirt and was appalled it wouldn't get here until after November 1st, and then realize how close November is already. It was just yesterday Brentford laid out Arsenal. So so not only I'm wearing this this Everton USA kit. It's a training top. But this is also from Everton. Everton Football Club.
Yeah, they made the shirt. I mean, who doesn't know that?
I'm saying it was gifted to me from Everton Football Club. They actually reached out to me and said, hey, we want to send you a shirt. So Everton,
so if you're keeping track, a Premier League club knows who we are. That's enough.
That's
to celebrate.
I'm really.
We need another bottle of champagne. Because not only do they know who we are, they know one of us is a fan of theirs.
Right.
And now bring in the next bottle of champagne because they took it a step further.
I say,
get this merch for free.
Bring us the fanciest ketchup you have. Because
you know what? Get the Sir Kensington mayo. Because you know what? We are partying.
Okay. Let's even do like the way Colombians do, where they mix the ketchup and the mayo together.
The mayo chup.
Mayo chup, okay? Because this is exciting. So thank you so much, Everton Football Club, for, sending me this, but really just acknowledging my existence. That is more than I would ever expect. This is just super, super kind. And the fact that, again, that this show, our podcast, our TV show, that it gotten to the point where people at clubs like just are supportive, like what we're doing, and are kind enough to say, hey, we want to send you something. Unbelievable.
Absolutely insane.
So thank you so much. And everywhere we go. Look, I know Everton had a rough go this weekend. Okay, this I don't know, man.
I was hanging out in a room where people seem to be enjoying it. To be completely honest with you,
because you know the best thing that happened this weekend.
Hello, Minnesota said, but do they want it back?
The best,
you got it on lease.
Yeah, right. The best thing that happened this weekend was what Liverpool did to Manchester United to really just take away the focus and interest about what happened, in that Everton Watford match. So, but again, go pick one up. Thank you so much for the love, Everton. Shouts to them. It's a dope kit. It has ever, you know, feels like the 94 World Cup kit a little bit. So, you love to see it. I think it's Everton is the first Premier League club to make like a kit in honor of their American fans. I'm almost sure it's the first.
Yeah, I can't think of any other ones. But also it just goes to show how much of a connection they have to the American fan base, right? They had Tim Howard, Landon Donovan. And obviously when they were out here for Florida Cup, you saw what the fan base was like. They were out here.
Yeah, it was dope. So thank you again. Okay, so let's obviously start you know, referring to the title. I didn't even see the what's the title of this stream.
I said next manager after Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Okay, Manchester United. What are we doing? What? How are we fixing this, Alexis? Because they're not they're not letting him go. Ali's there forever. He is. I don't know what he has. What kind of incriminating documents he has on the Glazers.
You know.
But they are not. They are like.
He knows how they got the nickname, the Glazers. It's not a nickname.
Everybody saw it. Manchester United against Liverpool at Old Trafford, losing 5-0. I mean, 4 goals in the first half. A red card to Paul Pogba in the second half.
Which I low-key think was on purpose.
Oh, bro. He's like, yo, I got somewhere to be. I asked for a sick day and they didn't give it to me. So I'm doing what I got to do to go.
I think he was like, oh, is this the final nail in the coffin I have right here? Wow. Mm. I just got to take a bullet and I get a day off for taking this guy out and the manager leaves.
3 days off, really. You're missing a couple games after this. So
let me just read this because this is from Fabrizio Romano, who, again, you know, that's the Bible.
Yeah.
If Fabrizio Romano says it, we report it. he said, Solskjaer confirmed by Manchester United. The final decision from main part of Manchester United board is now confirmed and approved. My understanding, and this is Fabrizio Romano, so Fabrizio Romano's understanding is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will definitely be in charge for the Tottenham match on Saturday. Expectations are confirmed. Sir Alex Ferguson supported him. He was today at Carrington, where also Ole completed the training session and spoke with players. Next games with Spurs, potentially also Atalanta/Man City, will be crucial to decide Solskjaer's future before or during the international break. Antonio Conte would accept the Manchester United job, but he'll be respectful with Solskjaer, and he never had any direct official contact with Manchester United yet.
Mm.
So from that, it seems like he still has support of the front office. So when you ask yourself, who still gives this guy support, just know it's the front office, and that's it. End of the line.
Yeah, Robert from LA, I've seen this before. Manchester United versus Spurs, also known as El Sakiko. Okay.
No, they might both get sacked at the end of the match, bro.
It's a fascinating kind of situation, right? I've been you know, especially watching Flex on with you on Complex and getting to know Flex and seeing all the stuff he does on United View. I've been.
Did you see the video of him that went viral?
Yeah, the little girl. Even the little girl was just like, get Ollie out of here or whatever. Yeah, no.
She was like, you know, she's like, we've got Bruno Fernandes in this position, and I think we can move him over. I was like, who is this little girl? Yeah,
it's just like, but. And it's interesting. He was speaking to a 10-year-old girl, and this is why, from a child's perspective, it's all so simple, right? I think as adults we make it all more complicated.
She was like, I don't know what y'all freaking out.
She's simply like, well, we have these great players. What is going on? Like, it's just like, it's perfectly rational that it's not. The issue is not the individual, the players. It's not the talent, because the players themselves are clearly capable. They're world class. They are superstars. And I saw Flex make this point about Fred. Fred always gets a lot of criticism, a lot of ridicule, and it's like, but then when he goes to play for Brazil, no one could take his spot.
Right.
He is the starting defensive midfielder for the Brazilian national team that has not lost one game in World Cup qualifying. They drew one game. They drew one game. They are absolutely stomping through the Argentinas, the Colombias, the Perus, Paraguay, everybody. They look amazing. And yes, Fred is also playing with these other world-class superstars, but he's still at the one of the best players in his position. But when he puts on the Manchester United shirt, it's disarray. They forget whose fault is it? The biggest complaints and people were talking about were Fred and McTominay in that game.
I mean, and people have been talking about that, as they call the McFred, for a long time.
Right.
For a long time.
Trevor Utley just said capable is different than willing in regards to the player. So then if it's
Hold on. But to back up to what you said, and I think this is the important part. Players that have played for Manchester United, players like, you know, Gary Neville, players like Paul Scholes, all these players that, you know, everybody holds to high, you know, regard. They've all said, I watch and I can't tell you how this team plays. And I think that's the issue. And I think the little girl said it as well. You know, I wish I knew her name, but, you know, you have great players. But again, if you're not putting them in the right position, if you haven't given them the tools to play well, they're not going to. And that's very clearly what you see. And you could clearly see that it's now mutiny in the locker room. Like, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there's a video of him sort of trying to direct players what to do with his hands while on the sideline. And you have Cristiano Ronaldo behind him kind of like mimicking him, you know, and mocking him.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's clearly there are people, you can tell people aren't comfortable with the position that, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo can only play or wants to play. What's his name? Peter Crouch said, come on, Cristiano, just standing around and waiting for someone to pass you the ball isn't cool anymore. You know, because like he really doesn't have the legs to run around anymore. At least he's saving them for the aerial duels. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot that's going on here. But I think if you start to write down what you think all the issues are with, you know, Manchester United, and you trace to where they go, they end up at the foot of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Thank you, Jamie Lawton, for hitting us with the
also
with
shouts to Gashead Gaming. Thank you for first time chat. Says, referring to the game, it was the fans applauding Pogba as he went down the tunnel for perhaps trying to get Ali sacked. So it seems like it doesn't seem like people are really...
Ain't nobody got Ole's back right now.
Right, nobody's mad at the players. And no. You would think in most scenarios, they would be, because they're the ones who, you know, it wasn't Ali's... Ali wasn't on the pitch when they gave him 5 goals, right? It's his... ultimately, it's his responsibility. But it seems like the when you look at a team like Liverpool, and one of the best teams in the world, we know that. But when you look at on paper the level of talent, I would argue that if I was building my an ultimate team, let's say, or whatever, I would pick more Manchester United players than I would pick Liverpool players.
Oh, well,
I would probably be 2 or 3 more United players than Liverpool players. So
thank you. I just want to read this because this is incredible. Jamie Lawton, 1999, said, I can't wait for Saturday. I'm going to Leicester versus Arsenal game on Saturday. 3-course meal VIP lounge. Okay, wow.
All right, now we're talking. All right.
The level of luxury and flex in our chat is just incredible. He said, I can't wait leaving my house at 9 a.m. That match don't start until that evening. But my guy's like, when is the first course? All right.
Amazing.
And he said, my dad surprised me with a Leicester City season ticket for working hard.
Amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
Look at that.
Absolutely incredible.
Also the flex of having a dad who is kind and rewards you for
I've been working hard, and you know what my dad's not done? Even reach out.
Man.
And I know he watches Telemundo.
The exorbitant wealth that we have in the chat is incredible.
Wow. How many varieties of Sir Kensington are included at Crimson Pizza?
Very good. As bad as
he said, I'm 21. I'm a senior sous chef. I like this Jamie Lawton kid a lot.
Jamie, okay.
He's a chef.
Love
goes
it.
Gets the luxury VIP passes.
Love to see it. Bay Raguna said, as bad as Man U were, Mo Salah is untouchable.
That's true, but 5-0?
Yeah. You got to touch him a little bit. You got to touch him. After the third one, you got to be like, I'm touching you, fam. Okay?
Yeah. Yo, McDominie, Frank, get over here. By the way, Everton, how do you feel your season is going so far? Are you in panic mode?
I'm a bit more concerned because Abdoulaye Doucouré, another injury.
Just short answer, yes or no, panic mode? You're doing all right.
Not panic mode. This is, you know...
I think Arsenal's doing incredibly well. Can I tell you what the two of us have in common with Manchester United? Is we're sitting on 14 points, and they are in Full meltdown. Full meltdown.
Everyone's losing their mind. And we're just like, we're just happy to be here. Okay. No,
we're in 10th place. And we're like, told you so.
Look, Arsenal lost their first three matches. Everton won their first four matches. You know, a great start, similar to the prior season. Some new players losing James. And still kind of having a little bit of, positivity. But you got
Rafa Benitez.
Right.
From LA said, what did Christian think of Josh King's celebration?
All right. So we have to talk about this. Did you see this game? Did you see
I don't think I remember that it was celebration.
So Josh King scored a hat trick against Everton. First goal, first goal, obviously Josh King was an Everton player last season. Didn't work out. Right. He didn't get many minutes and the whole thing. It was it didn't work out for him. First goal, he's respectful. He's like, okay, my former club.
You don't celebrate. Right?
You don't celebrate. But the whole thing. Then second goal, a little happier. Happy. Ryan? I'm like, okay, not to the point where I think Everton supporters would be offended, but a little bit big of a celebration. Third goal. My man took off his shirt in front of all the Toffees. He's like, bro, this is what you missed out on.
He ripped the last year's contract. How did he have it? You know?
My man, he let go of any kind of humility or kind of respect for the unwritten rule of not over celebrating against
Celebrate a hat trick, though.
A hat trick is a big deal. A hat trick against your former club. I don't know who wouldn't celebrate that, to be honest.
It's, right.
So I wasn't mad at the celebration more than I was at, we're up 2-1. Richarlison scores an incredible goal. Just hold on. Just what it do? Five at the back, 5-4-1. 5-5, do whatever you got to do.
Has Rafa never heard of a bus?
I think it, the third goal, actually the second goal that tied the game, which was on off of a set piece, I think it demoralized the team. The prior week losing to West Ham again on a set piece, a goal from, I think it was Agbana, just it was like a reminder of the last week and just like poor marking, and it wasn't whatever. It was just just another goal given up on a set piece. Once that second goal went in, deflated everybody, and then mistakes, and now nobody's like paying attention to defending or who to mark or whatever. And it was just a bad, it was a bad 10-15 minutes in Everton season that I'm sure they would want to take back.
I mean, if you look at the standings, you kind of slid where Arsenal was kind of caught up. You feel me?
Yeah.
Also, there is Leicester City with 14 points. Manchester United has 14 points. So, Jamie Lawton, we brought up Leicester City. I did see Yuri Tielemans' goal. Absolutely incredible. When you look at sort of the way the league is breaking down, the fact that Brighton is still up here is quite shocking. West Ham, I think a lot of people thought they would be better this season, and they've so far proven that they could stick around. Mm-hmm. How about Moyes just sitting back, just watching all this stuff go down with Manchester United, and he's like, tough, huh?
Crazy. What's going on over there?
Wow. Who would have known? Who would have thunk it? Huh?
let's talk about that to some degree. Is this Manchester? I mean, Manchester United, we know the history. We know Sir Alex Ferguson and everything he contributed to the club and brought so much glory, glory, glory. Man United, the whole thing. We know about it. But this situation, can Manchester United ever be what they were? Was it really simply Sir Alex Ferguson because we almost associate success with Manchester United, but I'm feeling now that it's really the success was really about Sir Alex Ferguson and not anyone else. He happened to be the manager of Manchester United, And that's where the success was. But as soon as he left, it has been complete disarray. So he was the general that kept all his soldiers in order, and he had a long tenure, and he was successful. But I don't think we can recreate that. I don't know if
the leagues are so different now. The world of football itself, the world of soccer itself is so different now. You would never, it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? There's teams with more money now. There's teams that, you know, compete at a different level. You know what I mean? There's just no way. There's no way in hell you would be able to have a team. I don't even think Newcastle is going to have that easy of a time finding players that want to play there outside of they think like, well, I'm going to get paid the most to be there. You know what I mean? Whereas back in that era, you wanted to be on Manchester United because you were like, it was the winning way. And, you know, even if you didn't get paid, and they did pay well, but even if you didn't get paid as much as you would have at another club, it wouldn't have mattered because you're like, but I'm a part of Manchester United, you know?
Yeah. I like this. Jamie Lawton said, no, United will never be what they were because they need a manager like Conte because he has the thrive and intent and strictness for those United players to win. Ollie just comes across as a friend to them, not a manager. What do you think about that? Because I have seen a lot of there's been a lot of like this is interesting soap opera and kind of drama going on with Gary Neville. And a lot of people are talking about him because he comes to Ollie's defense all the time. That's his.
No, he doesn't come to his defense. He won't say he should get sacked.
Right.
He like refuses to say those words. But I got to give Gary Neville credit because he said, I've never called for a manager to get sacked.
Right.
So I'm not going to do it now, especially not when it's a friend of mine.
Yeah. And people get mad at him because they're saying he's not being an objective pundit. But also, do we expect our pundits to be objective? What standard?
Also, can I just ask, how fast would you throw me under the bus if you were Gary Neville in this situation?
Like, what?
you would have been calling for my head day one.
Get rid of this dude.
I don't know why y'all even hired
him. He's a failure. I should have never worked with him. I don't even know what I was thinking.
Bro, there wouldn't be a set. They'd be like, yo, I think Christian's too hard on Wilson. He ain't doing that bad.
No, I mean, look, even the expectation. I guess this is what it feels like. It feels like Manchester United fans, at least some of them, feel like if Gary Neville says what they're already feeling and voices their frustration about getting rid of the manager, that then the club will get rid of the manager because Gary Neville said it, which I think is a flawed perspective into thinking that Gary Neville has this level of influence to decide he doesn't get to pick the manager and he's not going to get rid of any manager regardless if he thinks that should be gone or not.
And look at what Gashead Gaming said. Ole's been great though. Stabilized the club and is just what we needed. Now he's done the job. He's threatening to ruin it with his tactical shortcomings, which I think is something we've all kind of said, like, yo, he did what he had to do. He righted the ship. Like Freddie Ljungberg did that to some degree when he came in.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard did the same thing and kind of stuck around too long. And you saw that as soon as they got rid of him, they brought in a Tuchel and boom, they win Champions League. You know what I mean? You brought in someone who understands how to cook with these ingredients better. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing with Ole. I just don't understand why United won't make that decision. The only thing I can think of is that they don't feel that they have a Tuchel to replace him.
Right, right. And there's a limited amount of people that can handle such a job, not only from a tactical and managerial perspective, but also as like handling the level of scrutiny that the Manchester United will have. It's not always appealing to everybody because they would want better situations or either more control at the club or whatever. So yeah, you feel bad. At least I feel bad a little bit for.
Hold on, I just want to say, Gasset Gaming also followed up with, or they have to pay a load of money to sack him and they don't want to, but that was blocked because of load and sack.
You can't.
And I gotta be honest, Twitch, you're right on this point. We're allowing it, but no, you ain't wrong.
It's a loaded sentence, okay? There's a lot going on there. Jay Hicks said there's this.
That one could get sticky. You know what I mean?
Perfect Tommy says, Zidane ain't walking through that door, which I love. That's a nice Amin Al-Hassan reference. Shout out to him.
Hold on. Jay Hicks 6 said he's taken Manchester United to the highest point that he can as a manager. We need someone who can take the squad to the next level. Now, this is what the question I asked Flex at the beginning of the season. They finished second last season. They went out and spent a ton of money and brought in legends back to the club. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can't just go out and finish second again. Mikel Arteta has won more trophies at Arsenal as a manager than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has as manager of Manchester United. You can't just walk out and not win. But also, you can't just win like Carabao Cup and be like, told you, we're doing all right. Look at all the money we spent. We got Carabao Cup. You need to win a minimum FA Cup, and you have to go really far in Champions League, and you have to, again, threaten in second. And people are still going to say you didn't do enough because you finished second again domestically. Your only option is to win the league. That is it. And it's very much up for grabs this season. I know Chelsea looks good, but there's no one that I would say has their thumb on it already.
Right. And let's see.
Jamie Lawton also said, look at Conte, went to Inter Milan his first season, won the league, then asked for more money to make the team better. They wouldn't give him the budget, so he left it. Shows he wants to win titles, leagues, cup, silverware. If Brendan left Leicester today, he's the first man, Conte, that I would want as manager. Actually, you should bring back Ranieri. This guy's killing Everton.
but this has to be the big concern right here. Manchester United has given up 15 goals in 9 games for the amount of money that they have spent just simply on defenders. I mean, Maguire
was 75, but they're paying him a grip of money every week.
Right.
Harry Maguire was 70-something million, the most expensive.
Okay, we got Luke Shaw. We got Wan-Bissaka. Y'all shouldn't be giving up 15 goals in 9 games. That's just obviously, I mean, you're at a relegation level, you know, goals allowed. I mean, that's...
Yeah, look at that. Only one worse. Wait, hold on. Go back up.
Burnley is at 18. At 15.
Hold on. Go back up.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Even Everton is at 14. Even Everton.
Right.
Doing worse than Everton. You know. I'm just trying to annoy
you. Jamie Lawton said, Maguire is awful. Leicester made bank.
Ako said Wenger's too busy ruining the World Cup and Gerrard only wants Liverpool. Stop throwing shade at Arsene Wenger. I like this 2 World Cups in a 4-year cycle. I like this.
I do not. That's a whole other conversation.
I can't wait.
All right, we talked about it on the TV show. Jay Hicks said Ronaldo was such a waste. Yeah, he came up and saved us in games, but if we had to spend the money to solidify our midfield, we'd be better off. Just seems like United paid the money so City wouldn't have him. So that's interesting.
That's exactly what it was.
Right. The issue, look, McTominay and Fred, it's not working, right? It's not.
No. Let's talk about the Ronaldo thing because this is important. People keep saying Cavani's a better forward. Cavani's a better center forward. Neither of them should be options for Manchester United. They're both in their late 30s.
Right.
You need a real striker. And how can you go into the season not having one? Or at least saying, yo, all right, we're going to put Greenwood in, let him just rock and see what we can do with a couple of weeks of Greenwood. It's ridiculous.
But I'd argue Manchester United has scored 16 goals. That's pretty good. I mean, it's not at the level, look at Chelsea 23, Liverpool 27, Manchester City 20, and West Ham 16. They're scoring goals. Greenwood has scored bangers already this season. Rashford has already scored this season. Has he scored in Premier League yet? I think he scored in Champions League. Rashford back, having a up front, the options that they have up front, Rashford, Anthony Martial, Mason Greenwood, Cristiano Ronaldo, those just four alone, Jesse Lingard even. Those you got. There is a breadth of options, and if you need to score goals, that's clearly there. Whose comment did I just read? Jay Hicks. That's the main issue. In the summer, you know, if you guys don't follow scams at Nigerian Scams with three S's at the end. He works for CBS Sports. I'm sure 100% one of the best follows on Twitter. He is a huge,
so funny,
huge Manchester United fan. And literally the entire summer transfer window, there might have been a tweet every day. Why hasn't Manchester United signed a midfielder, a defensive mid? Why haven't we signed defensive mid? Why have every day? So I'm seeing that and I'm like, hey, you know what? Why haven't Manchester United signed him? This guy's really—he's getting louder. He's typing in caps. Somebody should be able to see this, and they didn't. I saw these. I was watching the kickoff, and I had seen the comments about who scored in this Liverpool game, and it was Naby Keita. It was basically midfielders are scoring against Manchester United, meaning mm-hmm. that the midfielders,
no defensive midfielder.
The midfielders for Manchester United are not defending those midfielders well enough to prevent them from getting in the box allowing them to create chances. So, and whether that is a simple, maybe like tactically, Ali doesn't really focus on defending. I don't know what maybe those defensive, you know, because, like, do you remember when they asked... Well,
while you're talking about this, Gashead Gaming said, sell Matic, Fred, and McTominay, sign Declan Rice. Chomp done.
Right.
It's just that easy. And why would Declan Rice leave? Why would he leave West Ham?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
They're doing better.
And it's a fair question because it really just... The brand of Manchester United seems to be getting more and more... It has more and more blemishes. It just doesn't feel like... It doesn't feel like the club of the 90s anymore. It doesn't feel...
They're expanding the seating. They're going to have even more seats this time. I think they're going to go to 60K, right?
I don't know.
I think that was that. I think that was them. If I'm not mistaken, it was either them or Liverpool that released that they were going to go up to 60K.
Ako said, no defending, just vibes. Yeah, dude.
Yo. Sometimes that's good enough.
But the point I was going to make about... Remember, there was a press conference with Pep Guardiola about... They asked him about like defending, and he scoffed at the idea of like doing defensive training drills. Whether I don't know how serious or sarcastic he was being, but Manchester City, I could believe that they barely practice defending only because they have the ball all the time. They have such amazing players that maintain
possession. Is defending.
Exactly. And so with that style of play, you could understand that the defending is not that, you know, maybe not a huge focus, but Manchester United don't have that caliber of players to just maintain possession in that way. And they got to defend. They're going to be in situations where they have to like defend the counterattack. And that was like the fifth goal. Which is like, you know, everybody's kind of demoralized already. But that fifth goal, Jordan Henderson taking the ball away from Pogba, outside of the boot, just pinpoint. I mean, one of the most beautiful passes you'll see in the game. Just perfectly right in front of Mohamed Salah. And Salah even takes a bad touch. If De Gea...
I think he scores with the outside of the boot. It was a double outside of the boot.
It was... incredible, but even De Gea not rushing out to stop that ball, just you saw how demoralized they already were. But
one of my favorite things is if you get a chance, go watch Adam McCullough's reaction to that goal.
Okay.
he's calling people like knobheads and stuff. He's telling them all suck your mom. I mean, he goes off, but he starts yelling, why don't you turn around? Like he's yelling at the defender as it's happening. It's just beautiful.
Ako said Ronaldo's best touch was on Curtis Jones's chest. Remember, he kicked the ball. It could have been a close one because if he missed the ball and kicked Jones, I mean, he would be out of this game, but it was
for sure
wildly unnecessary. I don't know what he was doing or thinking, but look, it was a yellow. It could have been a lot worse. What did you think of Paul Pogba's red card? Is the definite red?
It's definitely a red. I don't think he had negative intention, but I do low key think subconsciously it was his way of getting rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually do think he kind of he went in callously. He went over the ball and he didn't touch him with the second foot, but both feet were up, right?
Yeah,
both studs were up. It was definitely two footed. I think when you do stuff like that, I think you're, you know, it's like a kid who like talks in class after he's been told not to talk in class. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to cause a scene. You're trying to, you know, you're subconsciously trying to sort of do something. And at the end of the day,
but this is
can't really blame him.
This is a look. I've felt this in games when I was playing where we were not only I don't mind losing games. I can deal with that, but I hate when like I'll be playing Sunday League and there's no slide tackling in the league, and then people slide tackle, and that's happened a couple times where one of my teammates got hurt because someone slid. And in a league that you're not supposed, we're all in our 30s. We ain't trying to get injured. We got to go to work tomorrow. But something happens where if you're losing that badly and you realize the level of humiliation that you're suffering from, subconsciously you're like, I'm like, you're not thinking straight. And that's what Pogba was doing. But I blame, you blame the player, yes. But you have to blame the manager for not keeping your players focused. What happened at halftime that allowed Pogba to not be focused? And this is not a thing specifically on Pogba, because everybody I think was lacking focus. But it's not coming from the top where you're getting that leadership and inspiration from your manager to say like, all right, let me focus and try to do my best and not try to win the ball in such a ridiculous fashion or whatever. So it's
Robert from LA said, is Alexis talking about Pogba or himself? Maybe a little bit of both, you know?
Because I've played sometimes and like in games where we were losing badly and I felt like the other team was like taking it too far. And not like, again, I can lose, but it's the like when they're too aggressive. Like I hate
get the anger out.
Yeah, it's like when teams are overly aggressive and they're winning, I'm like, bro, you're already winning 3-3 goals. Why are you pushing me? And it's like at that point, all right, now I'm angry. Now I'm gonna actually, I know this is just we're just having a good time. No, but why can't I body you off the ball with my shoulder? Wow, we're just having a good time. You know, that's right. And I think that's that lack of focus happened in that game. So
but it's also that little bit of aggression, that little bit of anger, that little bit of disinterest. You know, a little bit of disconnect. Bay Area Guna said, has Ole even tried the Pogba Van de Beek partnership? And he did in that cup match, if I'm not mistaken. And it looked better than Fred and McTominay. Was it perfect? No, because I don't think that's actually Van de Beek's position. But also, at this point, Donny Van de Beek will play whatever position you want. He's like, let me in goal. I don't know. I just want to be out there.
Cruz's Pizza just said, and then Christian kicked somebody in the chest. Yeah, dude. Jay Hicks said, you should pull a longest yard and quote unquote accidentally shoot the ball straight at Ali.
That would be hilarious. Jamie Lawton, who by the way keeps bringing up Daka, who had either a hat trick or a brace. Absolutely incredible. Striker, I believe he came from Red Bull Salzburg. I think he played with Brendan Aaronson. But he said, I remember I used to play 5v5 weekly football matches. Some guy went into my football with blades, which you're not supposed to, and he caught my whole foot bleeding and everything. So painful. Now I play league table tennis. He gave up the
game. You see what happens when people take it too far?
Nah. You made my foot bleed? I'm done. I'm going to darts. Have you heard of it? You slide tackle in darts, I guarantee you get in trouble.
Also, Pogba did the slide tackle. Obviously got the red card. Because he slid into Naby Keita. Naby Keita has been getting a lot of publicity for his shin pads, his shin guards. Have you?
Oh, the AirPods.
Yeah, have you seen them? Because they're barely anything. I mean, look at these shin guards, bro. These are...
Why don't people want to play with shin guards?
You got it. Anybody in the chat, let me know. Do you prefer not playing with shin guards? Is it really... Does it really, like, hamper your mobility? What is it with normal-sized shin guards? I play with normal-sized shin guards. I think that... I've been kicked in the shin... And if I didn't have proper size shin guards, it would have been a nightmare. So
yeah, I don't get this whole thing of players not wanting to play with them. Get the custom ones, you know, like the ones that are painted with like your family's face on it or whatever. Do whatever you want. Okay. Play with shin pads, dude.
And look, under this tweet, we see Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who pretty much has the same one. So yeah, don't want that because look,
Paolo Minnesota said. He's played with a piece of toast.
Gaslight Gaming said, it's easier to play without them. Mine went from ankle to knee with ankle guards, but I love training without them. I get that.
I refuse to believe that it's easier to play without them. I get that there may be a nuisance, but I refuse to believe it's easier to play without them. Also, can we feature Run Amok's comment? You just have to scroll up a little bit. Because he answered the question that is the title of this thing. He said, who should manage United next? I have two words for you. Sha Mock.
Yes. Thank you, Run Amok, coming through. You know, I mean, just really the... I'm going to assume it's Shamak's agent because...
I think this guy's actual name is Rana Shamak. You know what I mean? Because this guy.
I could see it. I would love to see it. It would definitely, you know, make this this Twitch stream even more exciting than it already is.
This is what he does. He goes in, he sees an Arsenal shirt. He's like, I think I could get Shamak into the conversation here.
Boyd Martin said, I don't play with them, referring to shin guards. I used to, the ball would smack them and go wild. Yeah, I wear those like those shin socks or whatever, those shin sleeves that I wear around my shin and then put the shin guard in there so that it can stay in place. Nixon said, I've still got my shin guards from 1999 because they're the only ones that are big enough to cover most of my shin. Okay.
What you got? You got one of them Bastian Schweinsteiger shin?
Got them tree trunks.
Shin guards are for defenders. Who are these people? You guys are the anti-vaxxers of the soccer world. What is wrong with all of you?
Yeah.
I got kicked in the shin once. And let me tell you something. I'll never play the game without shin guards. Also, I'll never play the game. So, like, you know, I think I'm right.
Right.
Shin guards are for people who like having shins, says Akko Akko. Thank you.
Bro, I don't get it. I don't get it. Board Meyer's anti shin guard crew. Let's go,
everybody. It's a protest
outside of matches. You know, I'm not gonna allow my kids to wear a guard for their legs.
You know what? It's all Satan control. Jesus never covered up his shin.
So okay, I mean, look, a lot to break down from that game. We can go on and on.
Look, but Jamie Lawton said, I used to play Sunday League, then trained with Derby County at U19, then went back to my local team when I was younger. I always wear proper shin guards. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out there, Derby County U19's getting kicked about, you know, every time you have the ball.
See, Jamie Lawton, he had structure from his father, and who has rewarded, he listened to instruction, he has kept his legs intact, and he has been rewarded with VIP experience, the VIP experience at Leicester City.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like, Run Amok says, I wear two pair of shin guards just to be safe. Bruh. Yeah, and by the way, Barry Aguna says ESR don't need him. ESR wears shin guards. He just folded his sock. He just folds his socks back down over them. Can you pull up a photo of ESR's low socks? Put ESR low socks. You'll see him. They're there. Man, just stand.
Let's bing it. Let's bing it.
Bing it. You will see it. The shin guards are there. He just folds the socks down.
Let's see.
So you don't see that. You can actually see the top of the shin guard poking up.
Let's take a look. I type Emil Smith Rowe low socks and it's bringing up low cut women's socks.
You know what?
The no shows. Okay.
Look at the second picture. I think it shows. No, go to the next one. I think. Yeah. Okay. So it shows the two gentlemen.
We're seeing
Jack
Grealish.
See the shin guards.
Yeah. Yeah, they just pulled they pulled the socks down.
They just pulled the socks down.
But what size?
I'm not a fan of this style whatsoever.
Okay, so these shin guards are at least a little bit larger than Naby Keita's. Maybe just by like not by much, but a little bit. But even still, look at the top of his leg. Look at the scars. He's been kicked up there. He needs shin guards up there protecting him.
Bruh, he's looking a little choppy up there. Graphic Mess said, who else is playing the Cooligans Bing drinking game? Just me? Cheers.
Okay. All right. So look, everybody has their own, essentially, the smaller the shin pad, the bigger the gamble. You're taking a bigger risk. I don't see the point in it, but if you're playing better, I'd argue that if Emile Smith Rowe, Jack Grealish, Naby Keita, if they get proper size shin guards, I don't think their stats are dropping anytime soon. I think they'll be just fine.
Port Martin said, when I played in 11-11 Sunday League, my shin guards would fly out of my socks every time I got fouled. How loose are your socks, my G? I remember playing with these things, wouldn't move. Run Amok said, tired, stuff in your bra. Wired, stuff in your socks. Paolo Minnesota said, shins. Steven Jumbo just said, shin guards are like helmets for your legs. All right, we got the marketing up to par now.
Paolo Minnesota said, shins just slow you down. Get rid of them, too.
It's added weight that we don't need.
Right, we should just go from foot to knee. We don't need all this other stuff.
Manchester Andrew just said, United just signed Jesse shin guard. Here we go.
Well deserved, sir.
Oh man!
Guess I gave my shin guards used to have a huge straps that ran around the calf. How did they come off? Yeah, that's. I don't like those. I've tried
those are the kids ones.
Yeah, those are a bit cumbersome, and the friction can get a little bit itchy. But regular, put the sleeve on, put the shin guard in there.
Did you ever have the socks that came with the shin guards in them?
No, I never did that.
I had those for one. Somebody donated them to the team.
Those shits were horrific. Stink, bro.
They were horrific. And I don't think, most shin guards have like the rubber backing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this had that. I think it was just in the fabric.
Mm.
So it would like rub against the top of it would like rub against your skin.
Yeah.
It would like break your skin. And then, of course, all the dirty sweat and cow manure from the pitches we were playing on would get in there.
I love it. I think this could be its own like documentary. They're like the story behind like shin guard stories. You know what I mean? Like because everybody has them.
We got a VIP update from Jamie Lawton. He says, we always get a speech before the game in VIP, so probably have a few Arsenal fans. Why do they even get a speech in this joint?
What is this? Is this a wedding dinner? What is going on?
That's beautiful. Bing, 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 bing. Bing, bing.
Just a nice rehearsal.
Should we kiss? Jamie Lawton also said, ankle protection ones that I used to wear when I was younger. I was a striker, and it was quite quick. People would call me Vardy. Everything is Leicester City. put the ball straight over the top. Oh, okay, so you were like, you'll chase it down. Mitch Sanders said shin games instead of squid games. I get it. I remember I forgot to bring mine to a tryout one time. Just stuffed my socks with a paper pamphlet that they gave us, protecting me the same. No, it did not, Jay Hicks. It did not. If you get kicked, a paper pamphlet is not okay.
Okay, yeah, just put on. You need a Bible, is what you need. Graphic Mess at AYSO, lesson learned. Don't put Bengay on your leg, then put on shin guards. What? A nightmare.
Dude, when we were young, we would take Bengay and we would smack people in the top of the back of the head with it. And there would be Bengay everywhere. You ever put Bengay on your scalp and then run?
No, I haven't.
It's not fun.
Okay. What else should we cover?
Paper towels or shin guards was genius. These are not genius. These are dumb. Just like Santi in Goal when he put in the movie Goal when he put cardboard. These are dumb.
Okay. The real quick, we'll go over some of the results. I do want to talk about a Clásico as well. The results today, as we are recording this, is
Arsenal 1.
Arsenal 1
feeling pretty good.
Carabao Cup. Arsenal.
And Kolasinac started. I mean, we had a lot of players I forgot or wish were no longer on the team. We're in there.
Chelsea.
Cedric Suarez.
Chelsea won in penalties against Southampton and QPR. Good for them after defeating Everton in penalties. Lost to Sunderland, which is that's a pretty big victory for Sunderland.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Are they in the championship or are they in?
No, they're in League One.
Ooh, so even bigger probably. Clásico. I know Alexis, you say you did not watch.
I do know that Real Madrid won
2-1. I mean, I saw the first. I think I saw like the first like 60 minutes. I didn't see.
So
the
you
goal.
Saw the David Alaba goal.
What a goal from David Alaba, bro! That dude is a center back,
beast
up front and correct one to the far post. Dude, there was a lot to the game. I mean, come as Americans, obviously we're watching, you know, the first ever American player for Barcelona in Serginho Dest. Serginho Dest is now in the first half he played as the winger, and in the second half he played as the right back. So this has been the move now. Ronald Koeman saw him score.
Thank you, Helena.
Helena 2011. Thank you so much for the follow. Saw the goal that he scored against Costa Rica, if I'm not mistaken, the absolute banger. And Koeman was like, "All right, we need some goals up front. Maybe we're playing this young man in the wrong position." And Dest, he repays his manager by missing a sitter, bro.
Oh, for real?
It was not great. I mean, he didn't play badly, but bro, I mean, he scores that goal.
Wait, I think I did see this. He kind of like looked back at his teammates like, "I'm sorry."
Yes, I mean, he.
Yeah, I did see this. Wow, yeah.
He had, an incredible chance. I mean, there's no other way around. I mean, look, the keeper was there. Courtois was there and probably had a chance to stop it, but he hits it over the bar. Former teammate Lionel Messi taking a penalty. You know what I mean?
Bay Area Gunas said Koeman don't care no more.
He's
basically been pretty open about, "Hey, if you give me shit players, you're gonna get shit results." You know?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far with Barcelona to say that they're shit players.
I wouldn't either, but that seems to be his demeanor.
Well,
also, Bay Area Gunas said Xavi needs a call ASAP. Dude, I've been saying Xavi's making Al Saad play beautifully. Mm-hmm. They're in first place in the Qatari League. The clips I've seen, they're playing tiki taka like, you know, back in the day.
Yeah. What do you think as far as the two managers, Ronald Koeman and Carlo Ancelotti?
Carlo Ancelotti's 1 point out the top of the league. I think you're gonna be all right. You know what I mean?
Well, is it where are we as far as the Barcelona panic meter? Are we, you know,
it should be pinned to the highest color.
Is a new manager really going to solve their problems short term?
No. And I think that's why Ronald Koeman hasn't left. I mean, I don't think he's having a good run. I don't think he's having a good time either. But I think that's why he hasn't been sacked, or there hasn't been rumors of him being sacked, because who else are they going to get? You know, I mean, Xavi could come in. Could Xavi make them play better? Probably. But he's also probably going to want different players at the same time.
I mean, they're only 6 points from first, but it's weird to see Barcelona in ninth right now.
Dude, Espanyol might be above them after the next, they got two games on.
Imagine Barcelona gets relegated and then has to be playing matches against Barcelona B. You know what I mean? Like,
hilarious.
That'd be so funny.
Hilarious.
Is that allowed? That'd be so funny if it was.
Jay Hicks 6 said Barcelona can't afford anyone else. Yo, we've been told that, but they just announced a $1.5 billion update to their stadium. Something crazy like that.
Finding the money somewhere.
What are we talking about? Where's all this? Where's the debt you were in?
and also, they announced Ansu Fati, that they gave him a new contract till like, I think 2026 or something like that.
What a billy. They put a $1 billion release clause on
it. But this is how you do it, right? Because they have so much debt that they're like, look, we're gonna have to give you a $1 trillion release clause just in case somebody really wants to help us out. Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna get rid of you and sort out all the club's financial issues.
It's wild.
The Renamuk said, gonna throw a wild card in here for that job. Shamak. Okay.
You know what? I can announce that no conversations have been had. I can guarantee you that. I don't have to review. I don't need to go over with my sources. I can just tell you, I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
No conversations have been had with Shamak's people.
I don't think, Barcelona just got completely outclassed in this Clásico. But there is... that, like, you know, as far as what team is sharper, Real Madrid is much sharper. You see the growth and comfort, especially of players like Rodrigo and Vinicius Jr. And, you know, because last year, remember the Benzema saying, don't pass to him? You remember that?
Yeah.
To Vinicius. And now...
What did he say? Like, I'm on my father. I think he's...
Yeah, he's trying to sabotage us.
Yeah.
And... maybe that lit a fire under him, but bro, Vinicius is like really showing a lot of like leadership and really wanting the ball and really wanting to go 1v1 against defenders. So,
do you know how old Benzema is?
I don't know. He has to be early 30s.
Take a guess.
32.
He's turning 34.
Oh, all right.
Doesn't that seem so much older? Like, he seems so much younger for some reason.
No, I almost thought he was older only because of there was like that. We just haven't seen him with France for like 4 years. So it's like we just don't.
Yeah,
you know,
that's because of the.
Yeah.
You know, the scam a lama ding dong.
What's the status of that case? I think it's.
It's dropped.
Didn't he just have a court date? If anybody in the chat, let us know. Because I know, let me see. Let's bing it.
Here we go. Bing, folks.
If everybody, you're playing the bing game.
By the way, remember when you said before they couldn't hear because the external hard drive had to get going or whatever? Uh-huh. Someone's like, what is it? Is his external hard drive pushed by mule or something like that? Someone put in the chat. I forgot who said that, but it was great.
I have a, what is it called? My brother had gotten it for me. It is called.
We don't need that. We don't need the information.
I forgot what it's called, but
look at all the tags on a shirt.
It has four hard drives in it. And, you know, that's why I keep everything. Okay. I was looking up the article. It says Benzema faces jail, found guilty. This is from the 20. This is from today. But I don't think there's any update. His lawyers are demanding the case be thrown out, but a potential prison sentence is looming if he is found guilty. They're not gonna. They saw how he played in the Nations League final. They're like, nah, we're not.
Nah, we good.
We're not doing all that.
Yeah, Benzema. If you're guilty of anything, it's bringing the vibe.
Benzema could reportedly face up to 10 months in jail prison, which is love it.
Damn, I don't even know they made those, dude.
and or a 75,000 euro fine, which is probably gonna be the fine. Should the prosecution be successful in their case over the so-called sex tape trial? All right. I don't know. We're still waiting. Right. We're staying. Valbrena, they're like, who? Who's that? Is he playing? Is he playing on stage? They'll let it go. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up? We've been going on for about an hour.
Who wants a Valbuena sex tape? Apparently nobody. I just heard today that Barcelona and Boca Juniors are playing a friendly in the Middle East for a cash grab. Let's go.
Hey, that's the
come
business.
On.
Did you see, because we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, Robbie Keane answering a question about, let me see if I can find it. Basically, he did a talk show in the UK, And instead of simply talking to him about it, he did Good Morning Britain. I mean, I want to play this whole thing because, or at least, I mean, it's like, I mean, as far as cringeworthy stuff, it's just pretty rough. So that basically they're asking Robbie Keane about politics in football and like the morality of the game and like Newcastle and their owners and their shady past. And
this is the guy you asked. 100%.
And we just, I want to watch it just so we can react to it. But this is incredible. So here goes Robbie Keane on Good Morning Britain.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And it comes up periodically about politics in a world business like football. And it is becoming increasingly harder in a world where everybody's aware of human rights and LGBTQ rights and all of that. Yeah. As to how, will there come a tipping point when football can't turn a blind eye to human rights around the world? And of course, that issue has come again with David Beckham taking on the ambassador's role. Papers are saying it's £150 million. To, you know, for the Qatar World Cup next year. Is there a role for politics and a political grandstanding? We talk about that in terms of taking the knee, even, don't we, in football? Yep. That some people see as politics. What's your view on that in terms of the global money structure around football versus the political and moral compass that as a world and as a society we perhaps ought to have?
Okay, so before I play the answer.
By the way, the co-host is staring at her like, the hell are you doing?
This is like, what? First of all, this is a huge question. This is like, it's not simply, look, it's not even about, I mean, Robbie Keane, Irish legend, LA Galaxy legend. I mean, the dude.
Just in case anyone's confused, we're not talking about Roy Keane. I would love for that to be the follow-up. We're talking about Robbie Keane like, world-renowned nice guy. You
know? Robbie is a total sweetheart.
Also, David Beckham teammate at LA Galaxy. Hey, real quick, your buddy. Sign on with this club. For this state.
So, I mean, this is such a... I mean, look, and even if she just asked the morality part, like, just even a... That is even such a loaded and very big question. But this is so much.
Stephen Jumbo's Jet said she basically asked him to fix the Middle East and climate change. This is such a heavy question. And she even threw in the kneeling. Just add a little Salt Bay onto this already wildly heavy question.
Okay. And what did you think about the Dave Chappelle special? Okay. Manchester United just said Robbie Thunberg.
He's like, what'd you think of the Dave Chappelle special? And by the way, the trans community is in our audience. Go ahead, Robbie King.
Okay, so let's look. I mean, the answer is whatever, but it's rough. It's a rough go for Robbie. I feel bad for him.
By the way, he's scratching his arm. Internationally renowned body language.
Lady.
I've seen First 48. I did it. You feel me?
The international symbol for lady. What are you doing to me? We're on live TV. Yeah.
Look at the eyes of your co-host. Should have done this to me.
Robert from LA said, I love how she asked the world's longest question and then stopped herself to add more topics.
She added weight to this already heavy question. Play this. I want to hear what
all right, all right. This is Robbie. This is Robbie said.
Listen, yeah, of course, the political side of things in football, it's always been there and it'll always will be there, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, when it comes to a big industry like in the Premier League, like football, like a big club like Newcastle, you know, it's all about money, isn't it? And, you know, when you've got these guys who've got, you know, got so much money, they can kind of dictate what they can do. You know, just as a, you know, put politics aside, which is certainly not my game, and there's a lot of more clever people out there than certainly me. But just as an ex-footballer and someone who, you know, loves the game, it's you want to see the Premier League is the best league in the world, and you want to see teams you know, competing, and you don't want the same teams all the time. Yeah. You know, like the Liverpools and the Man United and the Chelsea, Man City's who've got a lot of money competing at the highest level all the time. So, you know, you want to see teams that who hadn't had success also, that you want to see them come up and try and be a success for the fans, as I said, because they suffered for so long, certainly Newcastle fans.
Okay, to a Robbie. Lot of fans. Robbie, is that absolute
He tried. Thank you, Robbie. Manchester Sanders said he found relegation easier than this question. Stephen Jumbo Jet just put, sunny, isn't it?
Also, I'm realizing now I didn't see the location marker. That's in Dubai. But yeah. So it's just
you ain't gonna be out there on that plane.
You better answer this correctly, Robbie Keane.
Jay Hicks said, good answer, Robbie. Now, how do we build a utopian society?
Okay, so ridiculous. I mean, it's such a.
I don't think he has a stutter. That was just a bad answer.
You saw him. Obviously, you got to have to fumble through it because you're like in your head. I'm like, all right, I gotta, you know, not sound crazy. Also, trying to protect the bag a little bit. I'm in Dubai.
Let me tell you something. He's not in Dubai and doing a hit for Good Morning Britain if he's not there for the bag. He's not on vacation and said, yeah, I'll do your stupid voice. No. That's part of his agreement. That's his responsibility.
Right.
So, he's there for money in Dubai.
Yes,
you ask
yes.
Him that?
it literally made of money and sadness, that place. Look.
Major Sanders said, it's like asking Alexis what he likes about Spurs. Except I won't stutter there. I'd be like, nothing.
So speaking of Spurs, the I think the thing we need to end on is... Did you see the video from Adele? You know, Adele is a Spurs fan, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
And she recently did a... article or something for, is it Vanity Fair? She did something recently. But this was pretty cool from Adele. I thought this was pretty awesome. Look at this. Let's get Alexis's reaction.
Hot Spurs chant?
Oh, yes. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur, and the Spurs go marching on.
The crowd goes wild.
Okay, okay, okay.
You think so? Yeah. Finally, we've seen that Adele can sing a bad song. You know.
Fun. I'm a fan of Adele. Makes great music. She has that album. What, 21 or whatever? All fire, bro. No, would you?
Not a fan.
Even less now. Robert from LA said, hey, Christian, did you see Alexis's IG stories pointing the fans at the LA Fan Fest and didn't notice he was smiling as he pointed to a Spurs logo? I did not see that.
Yeah, but I was talking about, wasn't I talking about failing when the Spurs logo popped up?
Oh, I don't think I saw this.
The board had like the beginning of the Premier League kind of thing where it's like all the different teams and like a little bit of action. And it's like, look how great this is. And I point at it, and it's the Spurs logo at that moment. But I think I was talking about something about failing or whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, yes. You're familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
They're going to release an album called 61, Never Again. I don't. What's that referring to?
How many years it's been since they won?
Got it. Okay. Jay Hicks said...
Oh, no, that was the year they won, right? That was the year they won because they won before England won the World Cup. That's the last time Spurs won the league.
Jay Hicks said the only trophy Spurs might win, a Grammy from Adele. okay. Fun, another fun Prem show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. So a couple things that we got coming up. Stick with us because we have a lot of, you know, I know everyone was excited about, you know, our trip to Paris and London and all this other stuff. We got a lot of really, really fun things coming down the pipeline. So please. Follow us, share our stuff, retweet. I'm telling you, we need word of mouth is how more people hear about
the show. It's the only way we can grow.
So please, please tell a friend, retweet. It really, really does help us out, and it means the world. And we got a lot of really fun things coming up. So a reminder, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Fubo Sports Network, Miguel Berry of the Columbus Crew, the forward for the Columbus Crew, just scored the other day against Red Bull. He's playing in a game tomorrow or tonight if you're listening to this podcast. And we have a really, really fun conversation with him. He's super, super funny. And it's always nice when we have players on the show who have seen our show before.
It's wild.
That isn't always the case. So we kind of have to like explain who we are and what we do. And then it takes like 4 or 5 minutes before they're like comfortable enough to loosen up. But Gail Barry was like, yo, love your show. This is great. I'm so happy to be here. And he was just like already on board. And that was really, really cool.
So dope.
Tune into that Thursday, 7 p.m. And then Friday for the podcast. And obviously, you know, we didn't mention it last week, but we have posted about it. But it has been the year anniversary since the passing of our friend Daryl Grove of Total Soccer Show. Last Friday was the 1 year, and it was, you know, we spoke to friends, and it was nice to like talk to people and just remember Daryl. We're planning on doing something a little bit more formal for his birthday, which is next month, I believe November 29th, if I'm not mistaken. So look out for that, because we'll prepare some stuff and maybe do something just to remember Daryl. Make sure you follow along.
Thank you, man, Jacinda.
Thank you. So
he was loved, and he still is. And you know, his memory lives on. And you know, I know a lot of you aren't in the States. There would be no the American soccer / football industry here wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for Daryl and his hard work. So shouts to him. Great example.
So that's, I believe that is it. Is there anything I'm missing, Alexis? Follow us on all the socials. Oh, we hit 25,000 followers on Instagram. Thank you, everybody, for helping us get there. Boom. You love to hear it.
DJ Polanco.
Thank you so much for helping us get there. Seriously appreciate it. If you haven't hit the follow button on Instagram, do that. And do it on TikTok as well. We've been uploading some stuff there too. So thank you. We're almost, we're like 900, 800 away from 20K on Twitter. So
we're close. Bro. We're close.
It is an absolute grind, but thank you for helping us reach some of our proudest goals and achievements, okay?
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you. You have any parting words, Alexis? Anything else to say?
No. Just, enjoy your week. And again, hit follow on every opportunity you can that involves either one of our faces. Mm-hmm. Please. Absolutely helps.
If you see our faces, follow it. Okay.
Yeah. You know what to do.
All right, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cool Legends!